Olympics in Beijing. But last week, some of those eyes were diverted to Tibet, where days of protest by Buddhist monks and others against Chinese rule turned violent. There were reports of monks being beaten and arrested in violent clashes with security forces.
Authorities say 16 people were killed in clashes with police, but Tibetan representatives say the number is much higher, and there's word this morning protests are now spreading to the provinces. Many people had hoped China's human rights record would improve when it was awarded the Olympic Games. Charles Burton is a professor of political science at Brock University and a former economic and political counselor at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He joins us on the line this morning. Good morning.
Morning, Susan.
What are these protests doing to China's image?
Well, it looks pretty bad to be seeing Chinese armed personnel carriers and tanks and Chinese military police in riot gear. It brings back memories of 1989, and obviously this is something that the Chinese did not want the world to be reminded of just prior to the Olympic Games.
So they do care as just in terms of public image alone.
Oh, I think so, and certainly domestically in China, the it's hard for Chinese citizens to get information about this action in Tibet. The Chinese have been censoring the internet and haven't been reporting it very much on their news, and so it's certainly not something that the Chinese government wants to highlight to anybody.
Human rights were probably one of the first questions that was raised when China decided that they were going to be a candidate for the Beijing decided to be a candidate for the Olympic Games. A lot of people started asking questions immediately about whether the human rights record wasn't a reason to deny them the games. Why would they try to squelch protest right now, given the close scrutiny that they're under?
Well, they're in a situation where they don't have a lot of choice. There's riots going on in Lhasa and other parts of the Tibetan Autonomous Region and other parts of China that the Tibetans regard as their ancestral homeland. So the Chinese have to address this problem for them. The question really is, how do they address it? And if they're shooting into crowds and killing people, obviously that's not a way that that the international community can approve of. The Canadian government has issued a statement urging restraint on the Chinese part, particularly against peaceful protesters.
Is there any indication that the efforts to squelch the protest are in fact stemming from their desire to keep things on an even keel and try to hide the darker sides of what's going on?
Oh, I think so. You know, the Chinese probably don't fully appreciate the degree of Tibetan nationalism. I think they'd hoped that they could suppress it through giving them economic incentives or changing the demographic balance of Tibet by bringing in more people from other reasons, non-Tibetans, and by suppressing their religion and culture. And this has clearly not succeeded. And the Chinese have to worry that it's not just Tibetans that have these deep-seated resentments, but there are other ethnic groups in China, particularly the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, who have similar issues to the Tibetans and could also engage in similar sorts of protests. So for the Chinese, it's a very tough one to address. If they go too hard, they can lead to international condemnation. If they don't make a strong response, then domestically the government is seen as weak, and this could stimulate more of these kinds of protests.
How plugged in is the Chinese government in terms of how they're seen internationally and how they're portrayed in the international media?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think that the Chinese government don't fully appreciate why it is that people outside China have so much concern for the condition of Tibetans in Tibet. And when they were initially going to do the Olympic Games, in their initial plans, they proposed to put the beach volleyball competition on Tiananmen Square, and the International Olympic Committee convinced them that wasn't a good idea. But that struck me as indicative that they really don't get the degree of our concern about China's human rights situation and our concern about the repression of the 1989 Tiananmen incident by the Chinese military.
There's rumor at this point that some athletes are considering a boycott. There are headlines this morning where the Dalai Lama has been quoted saying he fears a cultural genocide in Tibet. Is there any chance, do you think, that these Olympic Games could be knocked off the rails by all of this?
Well, the government of Australia has already indicated that they won't be boycotting. The deadline that the Chinese government has given for these protesters to give it up and get themselves into the police is midnight Monday, which is noon today, our time. And I think we'll have to see how the Chinese government responds to the protesters after noon. If we see a lot of images of terrible repression and bloodshed, then I think it puts Western governments in a very difficult position, because public opinion would suggest that we don't really want to send our athletes to a country that does things like this, you know. So the situation is still developing, but certainly the Olympics have already been tainted, and I should think that at the Games, the Chinese government will be facing the risk of athletes engaging in spontaneous protests, and a lot of the reporting about China in the Olympics time will probably be focused on the human rights question, which is exactly what the Chinese government did not want.
You mentioned that Canada has already expressed concern. Is that as much as the Canadian government can do? And if that is the case, is there something that the Canadian people could end up doing that might be a little bit more of a forceful gesture?
Well, I don't think that there's much possibility of us engaging in, say, economic sanctions against China. I think that it's important that we be frank and transparent with the Chinese government about our human rights concerns. I don't think we ought to hold our tongue because we're concerned it will affect trade or something like that. But you know, in a globalized and integrated world, it's very difficult for us to do anything meaningful that would pressure the Chinese government to change its behavior beyond moral suasion and condemning them in the UN and these kinds of things. You know, if we did not go to the Olympics, then the Chinese government and probably the Chinese people at large would feel a great deal of resentment towards the West, and they could retaliate economically. You know, in the case of the United States, it has a failing economy, and the Chinese hold a very large amount of U.S. debt. If they converted that debt from U.S. Treasury bills to euros, it would be really devastating to the North American economy. So, you know, it's a dangerous game with a lot of implications that could even impact on Canadian prosperity.
Well, thank you for being with us and explaining a little bit of the background to the story. We appreciate your time.
Good to talk to you.
Have a good day. Charles Burton is a professor of political science at Brock University. We reached him this morning in St. Catharines, Ontario. It's 11 now before the hour.